Of course, we have Easter, Good Friday, and rather than Easter Sunday, I prefer Resurrection Sunday. Because that's what it is, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Now, I was thinking, considering what text to be in this morning, and it is Palm Sunday, Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry message. I really struggle to leave a text that we're in. Well, we can do triumphal entry, but then we'll have to wait another week or a couple before we finish Hebrews 11. So we're going to finish Hebrews 11. But interesting that as we talk about faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and there's this encouragement the author of Hebrews has to the Hebrews that he was speaking to or preaching to at the time. And the encouragement is not to abandon faith in Jesus. Do not turn from him. Do not go back to where you came from. And we've seen how it's been laid out as we've gone through this book of the Bible. Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. It doesn't matter the law, sacrifices, priesthood, angels, prophets. Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. I was thinking about the triumphal entry and Jesus entering Jerusalem just days before the crucifixion, and the crowds, they're celebrating. They're Hosanna, Hosanna. And they recognize him, this king. I mean, they're fully on his side, if you will. And just days later, they changed to crucify him. Crucify him. And it reveals that they did not have faith. They did not have belief in him. They did not trust in him. They were caught up in, thinking that this was the Jesus, the Messiah that they wanted. The political leader or one who had freedom from Rome or that kind of thing. But they did not have faith in him, belief in him, ultimately submission to him, submission to God. And I was just thinking of that, and here we're in Hebrews chapter 11, and it's all about faith. And it's not all about emotion. Get hyped up is faith. So we'll carry on through this chapter. And lots of examples of people of faith. We'll look at them, not all in detail, because I was looking at it, probably took about 4 weeks to look at them in detail, but we get these snapshots of these different people of faith. So we'll seek to finish off the chapter this morning. And we looked at a number of examples last week of people who made decisions based on faith in God. And based on obedience to God in spite of the consequences that obedience might have on their lives, or in some cases, the appearance of what could be the consequences, and in some cases, definitely consequences. The thing with faith is there is also a reward. Often that reward is further down the line than sight, where we're chasing after a reward by sight. It looks much different than when we're living by faith.
faith in God.
We're going to pick up in verse 17. And before we do, a couple standout verses that we've covered in chapter 11. First of all, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is different than sight. But it's still, there's a substance to a realization of things hoped for, the evidence or confidence of things not seen. And it's based in confidence in God rather than confidence in what we can see in front of us. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And this is key. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's one of those statements that's really important for us to remember. Don't move away from faith in God. Like, trust in him. And the idea is absolute trust. What God says, we are to obey. Still remembering, and this is important, and I hope this is emphasized enough, our works do not save us. Obedience matters, so it's very important, but our works do not save us. If we think that, we turn into Pharisees. We are saved because we have faith in Jesus. It's all because of his grace. It's not our works. We can't do enough to earn his favor. We have his favor, and we are to obey him. But the favor comes because he's gracious. Okay. Verse 17. By faith, and we see over and over these two words, by faith, by faith. So by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. As Abraham was, and Sarah were kind of as good as dead, as has been previously mentioned, as far as having children, and yet God gave them Isaac. But think about it, Genesis 22. Here's the son of promise, and then one day God says, take him and sacrifice him. And it's something to consider, hard to wrap the mind around. How could God ask that? Well, we know that God didn't actually have Abraham do that. But this was a test of faith. Little Abraham believed God. It was counted as righteousness if his faith was as trying to believe God. And so we see here it explained, he's like, God promised me that through Isaac, my descendants will be a great nation. He's asking me to sacrifice him. Somehow he's going to work this out. Even if he has to raise him from the dead. It's kind of wild to think about, I said, God asking that, or even Abraham processing that. The point here is he had an incredible trust in God. And I don't know what exactly would have been going through his mind. But God provided a sacrifice. Abraham saves was certainly tested. It's a this example with Abraham for me is one that it's very clear that God doesn't mind giving us opportunities to assess our faith. If you say you have faith, here's a situation. Will you trust me or not? So Abraham trusted in God's power and his sovereignty. It's very much God is on the throne and I am not. I will obey him. That's what's how I look at it. But what's being highlighted here is his faith. It's an example of Abraham's faith. 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. In worship, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. And that was that they would, when the Israelites left Egypt, they'd take his bones with them. It took a long time, but it happened. So we look at Abraham, so then Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. We're not going to go into detail with them. Joseph, clearly a standout man of faith, sold into slavery, treated unjustly while in slavery of being a servant, years in prison, faithful through it all. And then there came a point in time where he got to realize that God was working the whole time, had a plan the whole time. And he experienced the blessing of being faithful through all of that. But very much, again, God's sovereignty, there's Joseph being faithful along the way, while not understanding at many points, why is this happening? Why my brothers attacked me and sold me to slaves? Why am I a servant in a foreign land? Why am I in prison unjustly? Think about it. If it was me, there would have been things like, this is not fair, God. This is not fair. Even the guy whose dream he interpreted and saved while he was in prison forgot about it. It's a fairly big deal, you know. Basically, saved the guy's life in a sense, or certainly showed him what was going to happen. It was miraculous. Let's put it that way. Forget some of it. It wasn't God's time. During God's time, Joseph was delivered. Until then, he'd be faithful. Isaac and Jacob as well. So, and all these guys, they weren't perfect. Of all the examples we have, they were not perfect people. This is not the, Hebrews 11 is described at times as a hall of faith. See, all these saints who have faith. It's not the hall of perfection. They were not perfect. They didn't earn their salvation, their favor before God. God is pleased with them, and was pleased with them because they had faith. And that's important to understand. Verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. These are people that please God because they had faith. Some of it was very incredible faith. Some of it probably wouldn't necessarily have seemed that spectacular at the time. Some of it was very, very difficult. So the guys we just looked at, not perfect, but they had faith and they entrusted, and to the point they entrusted their children and grandchildren and their future, they trusted God with their future. So Abraham had faith, Isaac had faith, Jacob had faith, Joseph had faith. It was modeled for them, and then they carried on. Albeit not perfectly by any means. But we don't have time to get into all of that. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. So Moses, we know, had faith, but it started with his parents. If they didn't have faith, there wouldn't have been Moses. The order was all the male babies would be put to death. They did not obey. They defied the king's order. There would have been consequences if they hadn't been caught. These were harsh societies. They knew how to swift justice, or swift injustice, however you want to look at it. But there would have been consequences. What stands out with Moses' parents is it says they were not afraid of the king's command. And for me, this is a really important one. For each of us in life, faith versus fear. And in my understanding, at least, while there may be a need, and there definitely is a need for courage when it comes to having faith doesn't cave to fear. So if Moses' parents were directed by fear, they would not have hit him away. They feared God more than the king. And they knew what was right. I'm sure everyone knew what was right at that time, at that order. But somebody caved to fear. Those parents that walked by faith. Another example that we've gone through not too long ago, we went to the book of Joshua, right? So the Israelites, when they get to the Jordan, and there's giants in the land. What happened? Only two were willing to cross. The rest were paralyzed by fear. They're like, there's giants. We can't do it. We're like grasshoppers. Meaning they will stomp on us, and we're just going to be a smear on the ground when they're done. But there's no hope. Joshua and Caleb were like, let us out. God's on our side. They're done. By faith, they saw them defeated. Those who had unbelief saw themselves as defeated. And a generation died in the wilderness because of it. So faith versus fear. And I don't believe it's that we will never experience fear. But the Lord said to Joshua over and over, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do everything written in. Be careful to obey. But you will need to be strong and courageous. And I will be with you. I will give you the land, but you must put your foot on it. You must be there in the battle. So courage is carrying on in faith, trusting God, even when there's, by sight, there's reason to fear. I love the pictures, because if you think of faith and sight, think of those Israelites. Told across the Jordan, and there's giants. This guy's like 10 feet tall. And sight said, we can't. There's just like, what? We can't deal with that. But faith said, they're dealt with. God said, they're defeated. They're defeated. And so then it is, okay, what's going on in our lives? Where it's a similar thing. We're going, Lord, I can't do this thing. He's going, it's done. Trust me. Do what I ask you to do or command you to do. So then the next generation, of course, of Israelites, they experienced the promise of God because it did proceed with faith. So, awesome example for us. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. See, he grew up in the king's court, if you will. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin and what the world, if you will, could offer. 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he looked to the reward. He looked to the reward that could not be seen physically. But yes, the eternal reward, the spiritual reward. Moses had the material reward sitting right in front of him. He grew up in Pharaoh's house. The riches of the land were there. And so Moses gave up position and power and wealth when he chose to side with the Israelites, his people. So he chose to be known as a follower of God and suffer for it rather than to enjoy comfort. And so when we consider that, because there's decisions to make in life, right? We've got examples of people that made decisions. We have choices and decisions to make. If we have faith in God, if we truly trust Him, faith will cause us to have the right values and make the right decisions. And sometimes those decisions might be relatively easy to make. Other times they may be very hard. But it's still right. Choose to obey God, follow Him. The text talks about the reproach of Christ. And Moses, he wouldn't have known this at the time, but the persecution, the trials that he suffered for his choice serving God and his people, God's people, put him in the same kind of company as Jesus, who ultimately suffered to set men and women free from their sin. Moses was instrumental in setting the Israelites free from Egypt. But it was because he trusted God. And we're not going to look at the whole account, but if you go to the account of Moses and leading up to the children of Israel leaving and beyond, there was some real reluctance there. He wasn't going, yay, pick me, God. And he wasn't doing that. He had to choose to obey God. And he did. He chose rightly. So Jesus was reproached, meaning he was treated badly, persecuted. Moses felt the same kind of thing. And there will be friction, or perhaps persecution, when, let's put it this way, righteousness runs in flesh. It's more ungodliness. It's going to happen. We should expect it. There is challenge. We need to commit ourselves to the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Peter 4. For a moment. And let's see, verse 12. I'm going to read a few verses so you have a sense of this. He's talking about suffering for God's glory, which is part of the Christian life. And so I'm back to it says this. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fire of trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in others' matters. It's interesting that's lumped in with those other seemingly more extreme things. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, but as a follower of Christ, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. In verse 19, in our men's study, we memorized this a while back. It says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Those who suffer according to the will of God, let them commit their souls to him. We need to notice with people of faith that they experience challenge. That's why they had to display obvious faith, because there was obvious challenge. Maybe it's not always so obvious, but all these people are highlighted because they did this. So they trusted God and pleased him. But it takes having our eyes on the Lord, not on the treasures of this world. Like Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And there would have been lots available to him. But he chose to follow God. And what an amazing thing for all these people to have their names recorded in Scripture as people of faith. What an honor. They may not have felt honored anymore. And I would point out this, that as God noticed their faith, he notices yours too. He notices ours. It doesn't escape his attention. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. It stood up to a lot of Pharaoh's wrath. But he did it well, because he trusted God, and God is the one with power. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. So none of this would have been easy for Moses. It was by faith he opposed Pharaoh. By faith he had the people observe the Passover. Well, this wouldn't have made much sense in the time, at the moment, other than God said it, we better do it. But it sure turned out to be a wise decision to follow God's instruction on that one. was with all his commands. By faith, he led the people across the Red Sea. There are so many examples in the Bible. If you put yourself in the shoes of the people that were there, if God doesn't come through, this is not going to turn out well. Situations. But it's true for our lives, too. I've thought in recently, not just this week, but you know, it's going back a bit. Living by faith is so much more exciting than living by sight. It doesn't mean it's all easy, but it's like that. It is an awesome life. We're privileged to have it. So when we trust God, when we have faith in God, here's the thing. We experience what God can do. When we trust ourselves or some other person, we experience what we people can do. And even the most, let's call them, powerful human on earth. Like, it's really hard to even come up with a comparison to how that power relates to God's power. Because it doesn't, but there's nothing. We have breath because God allows it. So we trust God, we experience what God can do. We trust ourselves, we experience what we can do. In my life, I've proved over and over that I can't do much. Especially if you pray to God. So trust Him. And this is the point. Trust God. Have faith in God. And He's going to give you opportunity to do it. So, again, Moses' life shows us having faith means obeying God in spite of circumstances or consequences. And note this, the reward is greater than the temporary suffering. We're talking about eternity, not just our however many years we have here on this earth. Verse 30. He's moving on now. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish for those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. So, moving to the time of Joshua. With Jericho, it's a walled city, very difficult to defeat. I suspect Joshua and others who were, really, they were brilliant military guys, probably had devised some plans that would look better than marching around the walls for 7 days and then having them just fall over. But that's what God told them to do, and they did it. And the city was defeated. Here's another thing that I've observed in Scripture. God does not mind having us look foolish to the world around us. Think of the inhabitants of Jericho watching these guys walk and march around and around. What are they up to? What they were up to was obeying God. And then God defeated Jericho. This is actually a great plan. Rahab, she did not know a lot about God. She knew enough, heard enough about the God of Israel to put her trust in Him. The debate comes up at times, well, but Rahab lied. She was hiding the spies and And then she said she wasn't, so she lied. And that's a sin. That's wrong. Was that okay? I don't know. At the end of the day, I don't know. But here's what I know. She's in the hall of faith. She knew a little about God, and she put her faith in him. And she and her family were saved. The rest of the city were destroyed. And it is what's also very clear is what God highlighted in her life. And there was a lot of wrong in her life. But what he highlights is her act of faith in trusting him with her very life when it came down to it. And God noticed she and her family were saved. So remember this, your faith pleases God. He notices it. This is not a chapter of mistakes. Like every person in here, some more than others, we can run through the whole list of, we can do the top 10 really stupid things that they did. But they're noticed for their faith, and it pleases God. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turn to flight the armies of the aliens, of strangers, foreign nations, just to be clear. Women received their dead raised to life. Again, others were tortured not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. So now running through a list. And as it's put, there is not time to go through all this. But here's briefly in this list of people of faith. Gideon, certainly weak and uncertain. God used him. Barak was very reluctant. God used him. And they had faith. Gideon had faith. Look at Gideon and go, that was a shaky faith. You need a lot of reassurance. See, he had faith. God noticed. Compared to Samson, hardly what you'd call a godly man. I would go, very slow learner, Samson. So gifted. But so compromised. But at the very end, he died with faith. God knows. He's pleased. Jephthah, he's the guy that made the really stupid vow. You can look him up in the book of Judges. God used him to protect the nation. He also, it seems like, poor decision or two in there. Again, his faith is noticed. David, man of faith. Also we know errors, Samuel, the prophets, the list of the prophets, their faith is noticed and noted. So lots of repetition here, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. The emphasis is have faith. And some of it was hard, some of them went through really hard stuff. Mentions persecution, tortures, not accepting deliverance, like not bending the knee to another god kind of thing, or to a king instead of God. Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, think of them. It's like bow or fiery furnace, you know, like our God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not bowing. You can burn us. It ain't happening. Of course, God delivered them, but he didn't deliver everybody. There were those who were martyred for their faith. There still is today. It says in our text that they might obtain a better resurrection. What does that mean? Well, reference in John 5, chapter 5, verse 29. We see there that there is a resurrection unto life and a resurrection unto condemnation. And that's speaking of pointing to the fact that when we die, it's not all over. The children of God will receive resurrected new bodies. Those who have rejected Christ, they too will rise, but it will be to stand in judgment. It's going to happen. Don't go for the so-called short-term gain. Have faith. Obey God. Verse 36. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. These are harsh things. Scourging. This is just to live through some of those. Close to a miracle. This is wildly brutal stuff. Imprisonment. They were stoned. They were signed to. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about. Sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. So, with faith at times comes hardship. Don't abandon faith. This is the message. Don't abandon faith, no matter what. Don't abandon trust in God. I noticed it mentions temptation as well. And temptation and testing are close. But interesting, temptation or temptations. People of faith are not, do not escape the spiritual battle and the temptations that come with it. The enemy is alive and active. The people of faith trust God in it. And that's what we're called to do. Trust God in and through, whether it's an actual temptation to sin or whether it's a trial, a test. Have faith that comes back to trust God, trust Him. Look for His instruction and seek to put it into practice. So, trust God in the trials. James chapter 1, we won't turn there, but many of you know that passage. Count it all joy when you face various trials. It's not joy that we're having trial, but it's joy that God has a purpose in it, and He will mature us and strengthen our faith through it. 39. And all these things, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect or mature apart from us. While it's very much perfect in the sense of salvation, perfect or complete. these examples we've looked at of Old Testament saints, they never received the full promise as they were under the Old Covenant. And we're journeying through the book of Hebrews, right? This is in relation to all that we've studied so far. The new covenant has been ushered in. There's a better covenant with better promises. It is a far better way to relate to God. So, the Old Testament saints never received this because they looked for the Messiah. Their hope was for a Messiah. But he hadn't come yet, and they didn't have that picture of him. They didn't know exactly who he was. But they hoped. They knew he would come. But the debt had not actually been paid yet on the cross. And Christ had not risen yet. And yet they had faith. And the point in all of this, as we get to the end of the chapter, and remember, the author of Hebrews is writing to those who are considering, like, there's pressure to abandon faith in Christ and go back to something else, something lesser. Something that could not deliver. And the point is this, that these men and women of faith in chapter 11, they trusted God, and Jesus hadn't been revealed yet. How much more then should we, who live after Christ died on the cross and rose again, how much more should we then be people of faith? There's a message to the people in the book of Hebrews was written, but preached, and to us as well. We have even more reason to have faith because we live under the new covenant of grace. So I hope that is an encouragement to us today. It is worth trusting God with your life and your decisions. He will not fail to deliver. It may not be in our time. In fact, most likely will not be in the timetable that we desire. But his is better. And I also very much want to leave you with this. As God has noticed the faith of all these people, and there's so many that aren't mentioned, it could have been. As he has noticed their faith, he notices yours. And faith is faith. It doesn't have to be defeating an army. It's believing God and his word and acting on it in spite of the circumstances or consequences. And God notices. And he is pleased. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. Without your grace, we wouldn't even have faith. But we have your grace, your favor. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that our debt is paid. That our hope is in you. We're thankful that Jesus is not dead but risen. We look forward to his return. And Lord, help us to be those who put our trust in you. Not just believe that there is a God, but believe with conviction that Jesus is Lord. And then that we would submit our lives to him and follow him. Help us in that. We want to be people of faith. Grant us the courage in the moments to be men and women of faith. And Lord, we know that you are faithful. Help us to be faithful to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, everyone. Have a blessed week. If anyone would like prayer, please come on up to the front on my left. And we will pray for you. And have a great week. We'll see you Friday evening.